Welcome to another edition of the Christ Life, the retro edition. Actually, there are reasons we are wearing these retro 3D glasses because like the cinema, there is incredible color and depth and uniqueness throughout Scripture. In fact, we really hope that you have joined us as we have been reading through redemption's story, starting with the once upon a time, and of course, we're going to end with happily ever after. And certainly, you've been discovering along the way, if you've joined us, there is depth to the people that we're reading about. They're just not these average people. There's some clarity. There's some beauty that is seen in their lives. Wouldn't you say?
I would say absolutely that's the truth. And I am going to now officially take these off because I can find the depth in these characters just by taking our 3D look at what we're going to look at. And it's really, that's the beauty of, at least in my mind, that's the beauty of our journey through the Scripture. And Rich said it well. I hope you're taking the time to kind of discover the narrative, because quite truthfully, if we're going to make a movie out of this, that's what the movie would look like. Mm-hmm. It would be the narrative of how God raises up people. And by now, you're discovering that these people are presented in full 3D imagery.
Yeah.
There's nothing hidden about them. It's, in fact, we see oftentimes sort of disturbingly so some of the bad side of some of these people, their difficulties, their issues. You know, you got Moses saying, "Oh God, that's just great. Who are you going to call?"
Yeah.
You know? And there are no Ghostbusters to call. It's like, "I don't want to go. I'm too afraid to do these things." So the beauty is that the Lord is perfect. He doesn't need perfect people. He's perfect. So it's not an issue of you and I qualifying somehow for this in any way, shape, or form. It is the issue of our willingness, our yieldedness to the Lord, and this continuing saga of God's willingness to speak into our lives. And so it's a fun journey, whether it's we do it with these glasses on or whatever color glasses we're wearing.
Well, and it's our prayer ultimately that that you live the kind of Christian life that that has the 3D, it has the depth, it has the width, it has the height.
Right.
Because I think that when a person is not a follower of Jesus, there may be a width and there may be a height, but there's no depth to it. There's no clarity to it. It is just ultimately, no matter how hard you struggle, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much money you make, no matter how many vacations you take, ultimately you find it lacking. But when you actually take on the lens of Christ, you begin to see things differently. And so our prayer is that as we look at the life of Samuel today, that through it, you see that ultimately he ended up living a life that was probably more than 3D. But for today, we're going to use the example of 3D. Mm-hmm. Because as a follower of Jesus, I remember when I gave my heart to Christ and I said yes to him, and he came into my life and transformed my heart. Here's what happened. The grass was greener. The sky was bluer because life had entered me. I was living, but I wasn't alive. And when Christ came in, I became alive. And that's when you've ever gone to a 3D movie. Now, they're long since past these paper glasses, and you get real ones when you go to a 3D movie. But what happens is it comes out. There's this life that kind of comes out toward you in your seat.
Yeah.
Well, when you become a follower of Jesus, the same thing happens. You begin to see life in a totally different dimension. So we're going to actually look at the depth of the problem that was with Samuel. Then we're going to look at the width of the training that he was in, and then the height of the kind of life that you can live when you're living in Christ. And so let's begin by reading in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 19, and then we're going to read the very first part of chapter 4 and verse 1. It says that as Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again at Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel at Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel.
That's exciting, isn't it?
It is.
Because there's the reality is that God raised up an individual. And in this case, from birth, but raised up this young boy with the idea that he was going to speak to so that he might speak through his life. And there's the reality of, there's the transfer. I love those verses. In fact, in our soaping kind of exercising that we've been going through, that was one of the verses that the Lord just stirred in my soul to soap about. Because when the word of God comes to Samuel, then it's the word of Samuel that comes. And God lets none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. That's powerful. You know, where you speak with the authority of God, where you speak the word and the will of God. You're not just winging it. You're not just guessing. You are speaking with a sense of authority. I think I've read somewhere about someone else whose words were spoken with tremendous authority in the Christ life. So, yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah, in fact, you know, that you bring that up, because that's really what Mark writes about with Jesus. That he came in, the words that he spoke, they were powerful.
Yes.
And certainly there was a dilemma that the life of the life in those days of judges, as they were coming out of Judges into Samuel, but really he's still a judge, and really transforms into this prophet. But there was a dilemma, there was a direction they were living, and there was also a distraction that was constantly before him.
Yes. Yeah. In fact, it says it right here. The boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And this is the third chapter, the first verses. And the word of the Lord in those days was rare. And there were no frequent visions. And so Eli had dim eyesight as well, but he had spiritually dim eyesight, as did everybody. They were all just kind of going their own way, doing their own thing. And the scripture is very clear. When there is no vision, then people just run around unrestrained. You know, that way, it says it this way in the scripture, where there's no vision, the people perish. But the actual rendering of that is that they run to their destruction. They just run amok. They go any which way they want to go. And the reason they do that is because there's no revelation. The beauty of a relationship with the Lord is that he intends to bring us direction. But without a clear word from the Lord, people just do whatever they want to do. And that's literally what it says in the scripture multiple times in the end. It's the way the book of Judges ends, actually, with this idea that everybody, in the absence of vision, in the absence of revelation, everybody just pretty much does whatever is right in their own eyes. Mm-hmm. And that certainly sounds like today's world, doesn't it? Yeah. Where there is no real authority, where we live in a world where people do not esteem the word of God. If that's the case, then pretty much any opinion or the majority opinion will start to do. And the problem is, when you don't know the pathway of God, when you don't know the way and the truth and the life, then you just pick any path. Mm-hmm. You go anyway. Everybody has their own truth. And that's a really convenient thing. You know, we've actually had conversations with people where they say, well, that's good, but that's your truth. As though everybody gets to have your own. And in a world where we do that, the church has responded with some silly things like, well, you can have your own personal savior. Wait a minute. That's like your own God. Create your own entity. But that's the reality of what happens when there's no clear revelation that comes from God. When God doesn't show up and show forth in a way that everybody can see, that everybody can know, then you kind of get the idea that you're on your own and you run in whatever direction you want to go. And the problem with this dilemma and this lack of direction that exists is distraction is a delight. It's a joy for people. Mm-hmm. Why? Because, you know, when you don't know what's right or wrong, you choose any old way. You know, it's like, what's the newest thing? What's the latest deal? What's the current conspiracy theory? Let's go check this out. Let's go check that out. Let's get online and hear what everybody has to say, as though these are the sources of real truth. But there's the problem. When you have no direction, then every distraction that can come along becomes to you this affectionate, kind of delightful little toy that you get to play with. The problem with that is that some of these toys are deadly, mm-hmm. and they explode in your face, and these, because they are not the truth of God. Mm-hmm. Paul writes about the Athenian people and the Greek philosophers who just love to get together and hear the newest stuff. You know, this was the internet before the internet. This was the idea of coming together. But That's what happens, I believe, in the absence of a real revelation. Mm-hmm. And so this was the dilemma of Samuel's day. This was the dilemma for all of Israel. But God has an answer for those kind of things.
You know, I think a lot of times that we don't realize, people don't realize when they're not living the Christ life, they think they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. They think they're in a relationship when actually God is really still very distant to them. The eyes, their spiritual eyes are dim. They've kind of run into the same problems over and over and over again. In fact, if you find that's you, you run into the problems over and over again. Yeah. And now the Spirit is speaking to you, showing you the depth of your problems. Then now you begin to go, okay, wait, I'm lacking some. And what is lacking is revelation. Revelation is the uncovering. Yes. And Paul writes in Ephesians that his prayer is that we would be people that have a spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we are constantly having the Spirit of Christ revealing really our need for him and the possibilities in him on a daily basis, which is one of the reasons we've encouraged you to soap along with us, because we believe it's in those moments that Christ speaks to you through his Spirit and begins to open doors and show you things. In fact, you were quoting from the book of Proverbs, where there is no vision. I think the King James Version says they cast off restraint. And when I hear those words, I think of boats that have lost their tether to the dock, and now the waves are beginning to knock them against other boats and against rocks and against even the docks, and it begins to destroy. And so many people who don't move into the Christ life and really live a life of growing in revelation of the Lord and really have those dim spiritual eyes like you talked about, they end up having lives that are still tattered. They go to church religiously, and they find themselves dumbfounded on why nothing changes. Why am I running into the same problem that I did 5-10 years ago? It's because they've really are not understood the depths of their problem, because their direction has been wrong. And so you look for the distraction for those that, you know, are in the days of all the different revivals. Well, I'll just go to the next revival and everything will be better. And ultimately what happens is that service that you ran to, the evangelist that you listened to, was nothing more than a distraction to take you away from the relationship with Christ that helps you really grow through and into him, so you stop repeating some of the same problems.
Absolutely. Yeah. That when God wants to move, he typically doesn't need a big, massive vote and program and a whole nation to kind of rise up as one, and then God has a chance to move. In fact, here's the reality of this beautiful story. God had heard the prayer and the cry of this one woman and gave her the child that she had a kind of a covenant understanding from the beginning. If you'll give me this child, Lord, this will be your child. This will be the gift that you give to me. Now, if you've read these scriptures, you understand that God gave her other children after this as well. In fact, Samuel ended up with 3 brothers and 2 sisters as God blessed this family. But this was the child for whom she prayed. And this was the child that she then brought to the temple after he was weaned. And so at Samuel's, probably in those days, that would have been 3, maybe even 4 years of age until he was weaned. But he was from that point in time left at the temple with Eli under his direction to be trained and to learn how to do the ministry of the temple, if you will, to do the ministry of the Lord. And so he cared for the things of God, even though the scripture says, and this is an interesting one, he still didn't know the Lord. He didn't know the voice of the Lord. And so this is clearly a gift from God, and this is a gift to the Lord that Samuel is given as a gift to the Lord. But God has to train him. God has to bring him some level of direction. And so God provides direction by speaking into his life, speaking to him in the night seasons. And it's kind of cool because he doesn't know the voice of the Lord. He doesn't know. And so when he hears Samuel in the middle of the night, he runs off to Eli thinking, oh, you called me. And he does this, the scripture says, 3 different times until finally Eli gets a clue that maybe this is the voice of the Lord. Maybe you're not just hearing from you know, me, but you're hearing from God. And so the next time you hear this, you tell the Lord, here I am. Whatever you want to say, go ahead and say. And God develops this sense of an ability to hear and respond to the word of the Lord. And I think that's a powerful thing. Mm-hmm. I really do.
It's all part of the development, I think, that we are all intended to go through. I'm not sure how many times you've heard this over the years. I've heard people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I just don't hear the voice of the Lord. First of all, let's get something straight right off the bat. It is impossible to be a Christian and not hear the voice of the Lord, because nobody comes to the Father unless he draws them. And when he brings you to them, that's his voice drawing you to a place where you are humbling yourself before him and saying yes to him. And after that, though, there is the development part of it. I think that what so often happens isn't a matter of God not doing it. It's us not getting a place where we are around people who are helping us to develop being able to hear the Lord. Because really, the width of your training really has everything to do with your ability to recognize when God is speaking, and then moving and coming with an intent to move when he speaks. And so that starts, first of all, for me, it starts with the word of God, which again is the way we keep bringing you back to the word here, because I begin to understand the language of God because it's already written for me. And so when I hear God's voice matching what I'm reading in scripture, yeah, there's a light that comes on in my head. And it takes me a while. Maybe it was 3 for Samuel. Maybe it was 30. I joke, I'm a little dense, and for you physics people, that light bends around me. I mean, that's, you know, us Dutch people are that way. But nonetheless, I know that it starts with the word. But then when you get people around you who will help you identify when the Lord is speaking to you, yes, not what the person's saying, but what God is saying, then all of a sudden the width of your development begins to expand. I like something you had said earlier. I jotted it down, because God is more likely to speak to you if you have an intent to obey rather than a desire to debate. Yeah. And I think that posturing ourselves in a place where we want to hear so we will be obedient, right, is a big deal. Don't get caught up in, and is it me, is it God, or is it the devil? The devil's not going to go ask you to say kind words to people. The devil's not going to go ask you to go lay hands on someone and pray that the Lord heals them. The devil's not going to do those kinds of things. And if it's me or God, I'm going to yield to God and watch what happens. Right. And what you'll find is you'll begin to differentiate between when it's you and when it is God.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you ever fully get over that, but you become less risk averse. You begin to go, you know what, this is worth risking. That person's life is worth me stepping into an uncertain moment on whether or not I've heard the voice of the Lord.
Yeah. And that development, that whole thing of being willing to do the will of God, it says it in the New Testament this way: if any person is willing to do the will of God, that person will have a magnified understanding of the doctrine. They'll understand the truth of what God is saying because they're willing to do the will of God. Mm-hmm. And so this is that development, this development of yieldedness. And for Samuel, you know, this was a new experience. Mm-hmm. And then this revelation that comes to him is one of judgment. It is one of, you got to get this, because in the scripture, it's very clear that this was not the first time Eli would hear this. He had already heard this from a prophet who had come to visit, speaking of how God was going to deal with Eli's sins and failures and the judgment that was coming to him. But for Samuel, this was a fresh, brand new sense of revelation. And so his development includes this level of devotion. What are you going to do with what God gives you? You know, how are you going to use the thing that God gives you? Are you going to try to make yourself out to be some amazing something, or are you going to faithfully declare this? And so in the morning when he has this revelation, now he's heard from God, and Eli is saying, hey, what did you hear? And he's just a little bit loath to share this because it's a word of judgment against Eli. And so in his kind of hedging and hawing a little bit, Eli says, no, this is what devotion looks like. If you're going to want to hear the word of God and the will of God, it's so that you can do the will of God. When you hear, you obey. When you receive, you respond. And so he shares this whole word from the Lord with Eli. And to Eli's credit, he was not much with God. But at this point, he understood clearly. God had spoken to him, and now God had confirmed this word through this young prophet, Samuel. So powerful.
That really seems to be the catalyst that moves him into the height of the possibility.
Yes.
Because when we are obedient to the Lord, then all of a sudden we're becoming part and partnering with the Lord in not our life, but in his life, in his plan, in his purpose.
Yeah.
And that's where he wants every person to really develop to where you can have this width of training that you can hear the voice of the Lord at work and respond. That you can hear the voice of the Lord while you're in line at Target and respond.
Yes.
I think that now you're stepping into the kind of Christ life that the Father yearns for everyone to move into.
Yes.
And then you really move into the height of your possibility.
Yeah, it's a powerful thing. And he does as well. His destiny, his calling. He is the last of the judges, and he is the first of the prophets, if you will. He's a return to the prophet. Certainly Moses was a prophet and there were others. But this gifting that God brings to him moves him into a place that God has intended for him. Mm-hmm. God has intended for him to bear this word from the Lord. And he's supposed to grow into this level of revelation because he has growth in this level of relationship with the Lord. And there's the difference. When you know the Lord and you don't just know about him.
Yeah.
I'm not just looking, I know some people who read through the scripture, even some people who are in ministry, who read through the scripture searching for sermons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we are supposed to read the scripture in a search for God, in our thirst for and our hunger for this growing, living relationship with God. And then out of the abundance of the revelation and the blessing that God brings into us, he fills us with his word of truth. And so what comes out of our mouths is what's in the fullness of our heart. Out of our heart, our mouth begins to speak this faith. And this faithful word comes out with power.
Mm-hmm.
This is the dunamis that God brings. And remember, these are all D's. So there's three D's on each one of these. And this dunamis that God brings is that it's not just my word.
Mm-hmm.
This is God's word. God has spoken. God has said. And it's a powerful thing here because His life is forever changed, and the scripture really brings it out powerfully, that from that time on, from what time? This time when he experiences this depth of God and this width of God's work inside of his life to now he just explodes into the heights of this glorious calling, and the word of the Lord then becomes alive to him, and it speaks of a restoration of God. God is moving back into Shiloh. God is moving back into his place of authority. Why? Because one person said, I want to be a person who hears and responds to the depth of God's work in my life. I want a full orb 3D walk with God by the power of the Holy Spirit. And from that time on, God let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. That's a powerful little transfer there.
Mm-hmm.
This God let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. None of God's words are ever going to return void.
Mm-hmm.
They won't fall to the ground. They are the words of the eternal God. But when they become the words that you speak, when they become the ways that you think, when the word of God becomes your way of thinking and your mode of conversation, then your word becomes one with authority, where God confirms his word, which is now your word, with signs following. And that's a powerful, powerful relationship that I think God wants for all of us.
Oh, when you were talking, I just got so excited when I think about the God of heaven saying, I want to come into, now here he went to Shiloh. He's there with Shiloh now, but he wants to come into your home.
Hmm.
He wants to come into your neighborhood. He wants to come into your workplace. But he wants you first.
Yes.
He wants you to come and recognize that there is a growing relationship with him. And that when you go to the word, you're going to grow in him. You're going to learn from him. You're going to learn about him.
Yes.
And as you do that, there is a destiny that he has. And make no mistake, it's not about God going, oh yeah, I've got the guy. That's not what it's about, because you're not the guy, I'm not the guy. You're not the guy.
No, but he has the guy.
But he has the guy, and his name is Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
And so in this destiny, it's about the destiny of Jesus, because yes. when you live the yielded life to him and you grow in your relationship with him, Jesus is going to become famous because Jesus's words become your words.
Yes.
And Jesus's words, they don't fall to the ground. And with all of Twitter and all of social media, with everybody saying, we have the words, I have my voice needs to get out there, I need my following. Jesus, when he comes and he develops in you and begins to work through you, then, and as you said it wonderfully, is that you begin to speak with power and signs and wonders start to fall. And that's exciting. And this is the Christ life. We long for every person that encounters us through these videos to want to move into.
Yes.
That's the calling. Move into the Christ life. So because we don't need another church. We don't need another pastor. We don't need another evangelist. We need people who step into a life with Christ and allow Christ to grow in them and them to grow in Christ and then for Christ to move through them. And that's Amen. The kind of devotion that God is looking for. And it's our prayer that that is you.
Amen. God make all of us those people.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. God Amen. Bless you guys. Thanks for watching.